Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Tracking the 2020 Census, the Citizenship Question, Where Are We Now and What Are the Next Steps? At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question and answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touchtone phone. Please note that this call may be recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to LaGloria Wheatfall. Please go ahead.
Thank you for joining this call. My name is LaGloria Wheatfall with the Leadership Conference Education Fund, which builds public will for federal policies that promote and protect the civil and human rights of all persons in the United States. We are pleased to host another in our series of teleconference calls with Ethnic Media called Tracking the 2020 Census. Thank you to Ethnic Media Services for partnering with the Education Fund to co-host the call. The census is one of the most important civil rights issues of today, and getting it right is vital for all communities, particularly those hardest to count. Today's briefing provides us an opportunity to update and inform members of the media about the pending litigation around the citizenship question, what this means for the 2020 census, and to urge Congress to ensure a fair and accurate count. Joining us today, Beth Link, from the Census Counts Campaign Director from the Leadership Conference Education Fund, John Yang, President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, Angela Manzo, Director of Policy and Legislative Affairs at the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, NALEO Educational Fund, and Jerry Green, Senior Advisor for the 2020 Census at the National Urban League. All speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session, and the operator will advise reporters on how you can get in the queue. First, we'll hear from Beth Link, Census Counts Campaign Director of the Leadership Conference Education Fund.
Thank you, LaGloria, and thank you to Ethnic Media Service for working with us on this call. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Beth Link. I'm the Census Counts Campaign Director at the Leadership Conference Education Fund. The 2020 Census is one of the most urgent civil rights issues facing the country. And right now, Congress has the opportunity and responsibility to help ensure that the count is fair and accurate for all communities. As folks may know, after the Census Bureau spent nearly a decade carefully preparing and testing questions to be included on the 2020 Census, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross caved into political pressure in March of 2018 and directed the Bureau to add a question on citizenship to the census form. Secretary Ross claimed that it was necessary to effectively enforce the Voting Rights Act, but we know that that isn't true, and so did Judge Furman, who in his January 15th decision of this year found that the real reason to add the citizenship question was something other than the Voting Rights Act enforcement. In a 277-page thoughtful and fact-bound opinion, Judge Furman vacated the Secretary's decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, and blocked the implementation of that question. The opinion found that Secretary Ross's decision was unlawful, and it also noted that the addition of the citizenship question would be harmful to the communities that are traditionally the hardest to count. Each of the dozens of defects in Secretary Ross's decision that the court found would independently provide a basis for setting aside the citizenship question. And the judge agreed with the plaintiff that demanding citizenship information in the census would reduce participation by non-citizen immigrant and Hispanic communities. A couple of things I wanted to point out. As Judge Furman wrote in his opinion, quote, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, would go uncounted in the census if the citizenship question is included, close quote. The judge also concluded that the citizenship question would lead to a lower quality data that would harm critical state and local interests, and that the citizenship question would injure plaintiffs' entitlement to federal funds, weaken representation in Congress, and undermine city share of political power within their states. Another key finding in the New York decision was the rationale that Secretary Ross had offered, was pretextual. Ross's letter calling for the citizenship question had said that it was necessary to enforce the Voting Rights Act. However, like I mentioned before, the judge found that the real reason was something other than the VRA enforcement, and that in fact, quote, the court can and does infer from the various ways in which Secretary Ross and his aides acted, like people with something to hide, that they did have something to hide, end quote. So the opinion goes out of its way to emphasize Congress's role in equities and notes that Ross's congressional testimony and hearings to a number of members was materially inaccurate, and then that the information that the Commerce Department had sent to Congress in March of 2018 was materially misleading. So in short, the New York court decision affirms that the citizenship question is bad for the census, bad for our communities, and bad for America. So where we are now is that we do know that the administration has appealed to the Supreme Court to get expedited review of the case. We don't know what the court will do, but we do know that that Congress can act, has a responsibility to, and should act. Getting the 2020 census right is important for all American communities, particularly those most likely to be undercounted. There should be no sides when it comes to the census, and it is the bedrock of our representative democracy. The Leadership Conference Education Fund and our coalition are proud to support leaders across the country who are defending the census and ensuring that nobody gets left behind. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Now we'll hear from John Yang, President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC.
Thank you very much, and thank you to all of you for participating in this briefing. My name is John Yang. I am the President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. Our mission is to advance the civil and human rights of Asian Americans and to build and promote a fair and equitable society for all. The census is a once-in-a-decade opportunity to get a fair and accurate count of all persons in the United States. It is important to note that the Constitution says all persons and not simply all citizens. This data is uniquely important in ensuring that resources are given where needed and smart decisions are made about this country's population and its needs. Unfortunately, this 2020 census is at risk because of the citizenship question and other fears that have not been addressed adequately by the Census Bureau. It's important to note that the Asian American population is the fastest growing community in the United States. We have grown by 46% between the 2000 and 2010 census. But we also know that our community is exceptionally vulnerable to be undercounted. 1 in 4 Asians have immigrated to this country since 2010. Stated differently, approximately 25% of Asians have never participated in a U.S. census. 90% of Asians in this country are either immigrants or children of immigrants. For these reasons, Asian Americans are skeptical of government use of census data, and the citizenship question in particular is concerning. A study released by the Census Bureau itself last week showed that almost two-thirds of Asian Americans have expressed concern about the use of Census Bureau data, with approximately 41% being extremely concerned or very concerned. It is against this backdrop that we filed a lawsuit, along with the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, seeking to remove the citizenship question. Our lawsuit, with respect to claims, is very similar to the New York lawsuits and the California's lawsuits. But our lawsuit is focused on the Asian American immigrant, the Latino immigrant, and the Native American communities, and the stories that our communities have with respect to how this question would hurt our communities, divert resources from our communities, and provide and end up with underrepresentation of our communities. These lawsuits are necessary to ensure that our voices are heard and to also ensure that our community is protected. One of the things that we have found is that there is great fear. We have seen this in the Census Bureau studies themselves about anti-immigrant sentiment within the country. We have seen this in the message testing that we have done about Asian Americans and their likelihood to respond to the census. So it is important for us to file this lawsuit also to ensure that Asian Americans, Latino Americans, Native Americans feel like there are people that are there to protect them. Our lawsuit is ongoing as we speak. The last witness is testifying today, and we hope to close the trial within the week. We certainly feel very confident about the evidence that has been submitted, and we hope that the judge in our case will reach similar conclusions as the ones reached in the district court in New York. It's also important to note that our lawsuit contains one additional claim that we must bring to light in understanding what is happening in this country. And that is a claim of conspiracy by government officials to intentionally discriminate against certain vulnerable communities. It is our contention that individuals, including Secretary Ross and others such as Steve Bannon and Chris Kovach, have sought to undercount, literally render invisible minority communities. So we must protect against this. But let us also be clear, Congress must do its job. Certainly, while we are confident of these lawsuits, Congress can provide a definitive answer now and provide certainty now so that all of us can ensure that a fair and accurate count proceeds. Congress can do this by passing legislation to ensure that the citizenship question is not included in the 2020 census. We all must continue to do our part to ensure that this census is fair, is accurate, and represents all of our communities. Thank you for your interest in this topic today.
Thank you, John. Now we'll hear from Angela Manzo, Director of Policy and Legislative Affairs at the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, NALEO Educational Fund.
Thank you, LaGloria, and good afternoon to everyone on the call today. Angela Manzo with the NALEO Educational Fund. I want to talk to you a bit about the impact of the citizenship question and what the implications are for the Latino community. As my colleagues already on this call have stated, the census is critically important to our communities, to all Americans. It is the basis by which we determine the distribution of federal funds. It is also the basis upon which we apportion political power in this country. And it is a critical, if not the number one issue that NALEO advocates on in Congress, on Capitol Hill at all times. So for us, since the moment that Secretary Ross made the announcement that the citizenship question would be added to the 2020 census, we knew that there was something untoward going on. We knew that this was going to be a problem, and we were certainly pleased that Judge Furman's decision affirmed what we already believed, that there were machinations to obscure a political intent. There was a lot of work and a lot of effort on the part of the secretary and those around him to obfuscate what was really going on and to present an image to the public that was entirely untrue about why this question would be added to the 2020 census. We believe that it was designed to erase our presence in this country, as erase the presence of Latinos and immigrants in this country, that it was designed to blunt our impact as a growing political force in this country, and it is something that we would not stand for. So we are confident that the remaining cases, the ones in California and the ones in Maryland that have been referenced, the judges in those cases will also come to similar conclusions. But our work isn't done, as John stated. Congress has a role to play, and they should play it. They should step up and pass legislation that would definitively, once and for all, remove this question from the 2020 census. While certainly we want to see these cases go forward, we cannot rest on our laurels and wait for something and then have the Supreme Court perhaps step in and undo this work. So we ask for the Congress to step up, to pass the legislation, and give the Census Bureau that certainty it needs so that it can continue implementing its operations and preparations for the 2020 census. As we stated since the beginning, this question is problematic for the Latino community. We know even before the question was decided to be put on the form, there were problems with the Census Bureau collecting this kind of information from other surveys that they conduct, such as the American Community Survey. There was a reluctance to answer that question. There was concern and fear over how the information would be utilized. To then turn around and put this question on a document, a form that goes to every home, and there is a legal obligation to respond to, we only knew that that problem would be exacerbated exponentially. Excuse me. And so for that reason, we have been urging for quite some time that this needed to go away. We did our own analysis of the end-to-end test that was recently conducted by the Census Bureau in Providence County, Rhode Island, and we found that over 78% of the Latinos surveyed believed that the inclusion of a citizenship question would make people afraid to participate in the census. Already in 2010, the census missed 1.5% of Latinos in this country. If we go forward with a citizenship question on the 2020 census, we are looking at a significant percentage of Latinos being missed in this census. And again, we cannot afford that, nor will we stand by and allow the inclusion of this question to blunt our growing political power in this country or erase our presence in this country. Excuse me. Sorry. So we will continue to urge Congress to push for legislation. There are several measures already that have been introduced. We are urging them to act quickly, to move swiftly, so that this question can be removed from the census. Thank you.
Thanks, Angela. Lastly, we'll hear from Jerry Green, the 2020 Census Senior Advisor at the National Urban League.
Hi, thank you, LaGloria. Good afternoon. I am Jerry Green, 2020 Census Senior Advisor for the National Urban League. I'm happy to join you today in this important ethnic media briefing to discuss the court's recent decision to block the citizenship question and its overall impact on the black population. My statement today reflects the perspectives of Mark Morial, President and CEO of the National Urban League, as well as of members of our 2020 Census Black Roundtable, which the National Urban League formed last year to develop strategies for an accurate black count in the 2020 census. The National Urban League applauds Judge Furman's ruling to block the proposed citizenship question. We further believe the question is a thinly veiled attempt to sabotage and effect congressional and electoral college representation by deliberately undercounting vulnerable populations and erasing them from the census count. The court's finding that the administration concealed its true motives for the question further attests to these intentions. In a related court ruling in Maryland last year, Maryland federal judge George Hazel noted, when the Census Bureau unreasonably compromises the distributive accuracy of the census, it may violate the Constitution. We certainly align ourselves with this opinion. Having said this, out of roughly 11 to 12 million undocumented immigrants in America, about 620,000 are black, according to the most recent statistics by the Migration Policy Institute. Equally at risk, however, are the approximately 4.2 million documented black immigrants who comprise a rising share of the black population in the United States. Currently, roughly 1 in 10 blacks living in the United States is foreign-born, according to 2016 American Community Survey data. It is not a stretch to say that much of the growth in this country's black population is directly tied to black immigrants and their children. Furthermore, as the undercount of black children by the census is growing at an alarming rate, nearly 7% in the previous census, we recognize that an undercount of black immigrant families and their children is a formidable threat to an accurate black count in the 2020 census, including our fair share of federal funding for critical programs, political representation, and equality. The addition of a citizenship question to the 2020 census only increases the likelihood of substantial undercount of documented and undocumented black immigrants, including Caribbeans, Africans, and many others who reside here from the African diaspora. Timely enough, this includes Haitian immigrants who, just a couple of weeks ago, joined immigration advocates in Brooklyn, New York, to mark the start of the first trial of the Trump administration's termination of temporary protected status for Haitian immigrants. We call upon Congress to accept Judge Furman's ruling and remove any trace of the question from the 2020 census. As the administration has spent more than enough time and resources pursuing this misguided, discriminatory policy. The citizenship question for the past year has deprived Congress and census stakeholders of critical time needed to engage the administration on important late-decade census issues affecting our community, like the undercount of black and brown children, the digital divide in poor and rural black communities, counting young African-American men, as well as counting formerly incarcerated persons who are returning to our communities each year in great numbers. And yet the Constitution indisputably mandates the census count the whole number of persons in each state. The census must make every effort to maximize participation among historically undercounted populations, not drive down participation and undercount vulnerable people. Congress must uphold this constitutional tenet and foundation of American democracy by ensuring the removal of this deplorable citizenship question. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jerry. We're now ready to take some questions from reporter. Operator, can you please provide instructions for asking questions?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the question queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star one now. And our first question comes from Hassani Wang with NPR. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Hanzi Wong with NPR. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is, I wonder what the various organizations represented on the call today, what your thoughts on all the various bills that have been introduced that would, in different ways, ban a citizenship question from being added to the 2020 census. There's a bill in the House that's been reintroduced. There's a bill in the Senate that's been reintroduced. But what do you think are the prospects of Republican lawmakers supporting any of these bills, especially given that the Republicans still control the Senate? What are the prospects ultimately of these efforts?
This is Beth Link from the Leadership Conference Education Fund. I can speak for the Leadership Conference in that we support the efforts in the House and by members of the Senate to remove the citizenship question from the 2020 census. As the bill introduced by Congresswoman Maloney and Senator Schatz makes clear, as we know, this is an untested question that will undermine the integrity and accuracy of the data, and it should be removed, and it is Congress's responsibility to do so. We are continuing to call on Congress to take action and praise the efforts of the legislation that is currently moving and call on additional members of Congress to sign on to those. I'll also just mention is that we know, in addition to the concern that we're hearing in the communities that we're talking about on the call today, we know that concerned citizens have been speaking up since the addition of the question. As has been noted by you and has been reported in the press, the majority of the comments that were submitted to the Commerce Department about the citizenship question were in opposition to the citizenship question. So there is a very loud call from Americans across the country to have this question removed, and we're also seeing that from the courts, as we saw in the Southern District of New York.
If I can ask a follow-up, are you concerned that, as far as I can tell, there are no Republican lawmakers that have spoken out against the addition of a citizenship question?
I would say, I mean, we're continuing to call on members and is the House and Senate to oppose the question and to sign on to efforts to have the question removed. We know that this is not a partisan issue, that everyone needs to be counted. Everyone in every state, whether red, blue, or purple, needs to be counted, and we don't get a do-over on this. So it's really critical that members of Congress step up and call on this question to be removed, because the accuracy of the data and the integrity of the census is at stake.
This is John Yang with Advancing Justice AAJC. Let me add a couple of thoughts on this. I think Beth has it exactly right. The first point is that good data is not a partisan issue. And traditionally, Republicans have been very supportive in past censuses for ensuring that we have a fair and accurate count, because this affects them as well in their home states with respect to the resources that they will get, whether it is FEMA, whether it is SNAP, or whether it is Medicare. So in that sense, we expect that Republicans also do have an interest in ensuring that we have a fair and an accurate count. I think one, to put a pin on a point that Beth made, with respect to the comments that came out with the actual questionnaire, the questions that would be used, over 99% of the people that commented on the citizenship question opposed the citizenship question. And that is something that lawmakers should consider with respect to trying to effectuate the will of the people. So I think Beth is right that the discussions are ongoing. Traditionally, these have been bipartisan efforts, and we would hope and frankly expect that it would be bipartisan going into the future.
If I could just add a separate question. The plaintiffs in the New York lawsuits over the citizenship question made a filing today, or it was posted this morning on the Supreme Court docket. This is regards to the Justice Department's request for the Supreme Court to essentially to rule on Judge Furman's ruling. And this filing indicates that the Census Bureau's chief scientist has testified during the trial that the June deadline that everyone's been working towards for the printing of the census questions, that could theoretically be pushed to the end of October if there were additional funding approved by Congress. As census advocates, if this legal battle over the citizenship question were to be pushed into October, and we won't get if it's possible that we might get a Supreme Court ruling not until October, how does that impact your preparations, and how do you think that could impact census preparations overall?
This is John with Advancing Justice AAJC. If I might, let me start and say that this is all the more reason why Congress needs to act. If the legal battle does get bumped until October or in the fall, then it puts everyone, the Census Bureau included, everyone in a very difficult situation in terms of getting out the count, putting people in a position that they would be responding to the census and ensuring a fair and accurate count. At the end of the day, we want to make sure that resources get to the right communities and to the right people. And that cannot happen unless we have an accurate count for the census. I mean, there's no do-over for this. We have to get this right the first time. So on one level, certainly we respect the testimony of the chief scientist, but at the same time, this is all the more reason why Congress needs to act now.
This is Angela from NetEO Educational Fund. I would add to John's comment, he's right. We need certainty. The Census Bureau needs certainty about what it is that's going to happen. Is the question going to be on there or not? Our hope, of course, is that it is not on there. There is a lot of education and prep work that needs to happen to educate the public that this is coming. And they can't get started with that until this matter is resolved. There are a lot of, yes, those of us on this call are certainly very familiar with census, but there are millions of people who reside in this country who are not, and there is an entire process that has to take place to educate them about what it is and why it's important. And they need to have certainty to be able to tell the public, this is what the form is going to look like, and this is what you need to answer. So John is right. If that's what the courts are going to do and it's going to go further into the year, then this is time for Congress to step in and give the Census Bureau that certainty it needs.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. Hi, Jerry Green here. Another point, kind of piggybacking off of what Angela mentioned about all of the educational work that needs to be done, and we'll have a short time to do it between October and Census Day, but there's a $500 million communications contract at the Census Bureau right now that's just been wallowing around, you know. This contract is designed and was designed to begin developing messaging, television ads, newspaper articles, radio ads, and they're going to be pushed behind to have to wait until October to begin really focusing in on what kind of messaging this contract, what kind of communication should this contract be sending out to the public with respect to the citizenship question and how it should be answered, how to allay those fears. And that's what this contract is supposed to do. So delaying this almost $500 million contract, the work that all of us have been anticipating to almost the end of the year, to almost Census Day, is just unconscionable. And then, of course, and I'm speaking from experience because I worked at the Census Bureau for 20 years prior to leaving and joining the National Urban League in this capacity, but there are people on the ground right now, partnership specialists. The field staff is growing. That infrastructure is growing. They are waiting for training and other pieces of this equation so they'll know how to help vulnerable populations. They're going to be there, right there in our communities, and they don't know how to help people as it relates to this issue. So it's a huge operation, and it would have devastating consequences for the Bureau itself.
Thank you, Jerry, Angela, and John. I just want to this is Beth Link from the Leadership Conference Education Fund, just reiterating that the census clock is really unrelenting, and the fear and uncertainty that is in communities now will only just continue the longer there is no uncertainty. And that threatens the count, that threatens the integrity of the data, and that threatens the resources that communities rely on, like for schools, infrastructure, and healthcare. So it's vitally critical that there is a conclusion to this sooner rather than later, and that's why Congress must act.
And before our next question, I would like to ask everybody, if you have a follow-up question, to please re-queue for your follow-up question. We would like to try and get through as many questions as we can. Our next question comes from Sam Collins with the Washington Informer. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. This question goes to Ms. Green, and in reference to the growing number of black immigrants coming to the United States and just counting them in the census. What say you about the growing sentiment among members of the African diaspora who call themselves descendants of slaves, who want the citizenship question because they believe that African Americans haven't been getting their just due, or they haven't been getting the most out of civil rights gains? What say you about members of the African American population who want that citizenship question out of a belief that counting African Americans as citizens would divert more funds and attention to issues that specifically affect them, and not necessarily black immigrants who might have more of a foothold on success in this country once they enter?
Well, I welcome your call. I live down the street from it. I'm a Ward 7 resident, so thank you.
Yes,
I'm glad you're on the call. You know, those are very complex issues in our community, and I understand where those concerns and questions are coming from, but I also understand that, an accurate count of all of our populations, immigrants as well, is critical to the funding that our community needs overall. I don't know if this is the vehicle by which those very relevant issues that you raise can be addressed efficiently. I just know that we need those funds for affordable housing. We need them for programs, for healthy baby programs, and Medicaid. And I see in our community the need for those. You know, walking to the Safeway on Alabama Avenue is a vision of really a reflection of all the needs that we have in our community. And I know that the Census Bureau the 2020 Census is the vehicle by which some of those issues can be addressed. So I thank you for your sensitive question, and I'm right here in the community where we can have a conversation, a dialogue, if you'd like. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Peter White with the Tennessee Tribune. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted Angela to spell her last name.
Sure, it's M as in Mary, A, N like Nancy, S like Sam, O.
Do I have to go back in the queue? I can
go
back
ahead
in
and
the
ask
queue.
Your question.
Okay. Well, it's not really a question. It's sort of wanting to get your impressions. Okay, so Wilbur Ross gets leaned on by the administration. He caves and he puts this thing up. And now we just heard from the NPR reporter that, well, they just filed this thing. Well, we don't have to actually have everything ready by June. We can wait until October. Where's that coming from? I mean, does any of you, maybe Jerry Green, talk to your old friends in there? Aren't they up in arms about that? I would think that they would be very upset.
I'm just learning of this morning as well, so I'm sure they're already up in arms. You know, there's already concern within the workforce there about, you know, moving forward and such. But, I can't really speak to where they are with this recent information Hansi just shared with us.
Yeah, I've not heard of it before today either, so news to us.
Call me in a couple of hours.
And our next question comes from Jean Ho with News for Chinese. And
yeah, hi. This is Jean from News for Chinese, and thank you for the wonderful presentation. My question is actually quite simple. I'm just curious, has the citizenship question ever been part of the census in the history, or is this the very first time that this issue has surfaced? Does anybody know?
John, do you want to take that
sure.
one?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So the last time that the citizenship question went to all people in the United States was in 1950. Now, to be clear, there is a citizenship question that goes to as part of the American Community Survey, but that goes to a very small percentage of households in the United States. So, and it is interesting to note that the last time that the citizenship question appeared in the census that goes out to everyone was before the Voting Rights Act was passed. That is the pretext under which Secretary Ross gave for needing this question. The Voting Rights Act has been enforced for the last 5 decades without the need for this question. And I think all experts have opined on the fact that it's unnecessary now in this current context.
And our next question comes from Jorge Luis Marcius with OC Excelsior. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon to everyone. My question to you, it is that the controversy over the citizenship question is great, especially for the the Latino community and the undocumented people. And my question to you, if the census is set to officially kick off next January, these efforts to count everybody in the United States, what do you think that they're going to do in order to get almost 500,000 people in a tight labor market to comply with this effort? Do you think that they will be able to get all these people, and especially bilingual people who speak Tagalog, Vietnamese, Japanese, French, or Spanish, to put on risk their own communities with this particular question?
Thank you so much for your question, and I hope my colleagues will join in too. This is Beth Link from the Leadership Conference. You're right, it's a huge undertaking to do the education and outreach to these communities, and that's why it's really critical that there is certainty around the final census sooner rather than later, so that the community-based organizations, we work with groups in over 30 states, are ready to do some of that outreach that the Bureau is preparing with the partnership specialists that they're deploying, but that trusted messengers in the communities and community-based organizations are ready to do that outreach where to those communities that are concerned and that have questions.
And yes, this is Angela again from the Leo Educational Fund. You know, we are mindful of the fact that it is a tight labor market, and the needs for staff are going to be great for the Census Bureau. And we are working with them, as Beth indicated. We are amplifying the message, the notices that they put out that they're hiring in various communities, and certainly are making sure and insisting with them that they hire persons who have the linguistic capabilities and the cultural competency to work in those areas where we know our communities live. But we understand the other part of your question too is, with this question being out there, will people want to even participate? If were this question to remain, would people want to be hired and participate and try to go and gather this information from the communities most affected? You're absolutely right. That is a concern, not just for hiring. It's a concern for many of our organizations. We've heard from leaders, Latino leaders in immigration space, about how is it that they can talk to the communities that they serve about participating and why it's important. There's a credible fear there, and we have to meet people where they are. So to Beth's point, the sooner that the Census Bureau has certainty over whether or not this question is going to be there, the better. Ideally, the question is removed and all of those things, for the most part, go away. We still have to get people into a comfortable place with the census. But it's going to be important to make decisions as soon as possible so that these operations can move forward, the hiring can happen, the messages can be developed and disseminated, and we can get people to a comfortable place and answer the census in a timely fashion.
Hi. Thank you, Angela. This is Jerry Green. So in terms of hiring and such, the Bureau estimates that it must recruit 2.5 million applicants to fill 500,000 temporary census jobs. We know that indigenous hiring is important because, you know, we have to have folk who look like us and who share our understanding of community values and such, who are going to enumerate, you know, who are going to come and knock. And, you know, I don't know who's going to, you know, I call them communities, you know, some of our communities that have been in despair over this decade, like Ferguson, Missouri, and Flint, Michigan, and, you know, in Little Haiti and other places, Southeast D.C. even, you know, indigenous hiring is critical, and you're not going to send just anybody in our communities and ask, you know, for information. Ultimately, that will help us, but still, it's an issue of public trust. So, when this is all going to take place, I agree going to be, it is a challenge for the Census Bureau. I know it's an issue that keeps the Census Bureau leadership up at night, and we have to be very to make sure that we are hired and that we are reflective of the population we're there to enumerate. I understand that that the hiring process is very slow. It's a new hiring process, and in addition to the issues, as you mentioned, about the labor, you know, the improved labor force, and that's debatable in some communities, I know. But there's also an issue of technology. The application process is all online. So if you have a digital divide, if you're in, you know, Jackson, Mississippi or somewhere, and, you know, your technology is not all there, you don't have access, well, of course it's going to impact a community's ability to apply for a census job. And then there's digital literacy, getting through that cumbersome process for the first time, it being an online application. So there are lots of issues surrounding recruitment and hiring, and it's something stakeholders are going to have to watch and monitor. Thank you.
And I would like to remind everyone, to queue up for a question, it is star and one on your touch-tone phone, and you may press the pound key to unqueue your question today. And our next question comes from Manny Atiko with California Black Media. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Manny Atiko with California Black Media. I've been following this subject, and I've already written a story about it. I wanted to address this question to Jerry Green, the lady with the National Urban League. You talked about underrepresented and prison populations, and I'd like to explore that further, possibly in a news article. Can you kind of go into some detail and explain how prison population is being undercounted?
Good. That's a great question. Well, well, the Census Bureau announced last year, I believe, and it's an issue very close to the heart of the National Urban League and many in our community, that the Bureau will continue counting persons who are incarcerated in the wrong place for the 2020 census. And that place is as residents of the jurisdictions of their prisons, which are usually in far-flung rural locations, and not at their home jurisdictions or their last home of address, where their families and children are located and where those services are needed most. So as African Americans are about 12% of the American population and disproportionately incarcerated at 33% of the prison population, we believe that this counting is also another thinly veiled effort to suppress and deny our communities full representation, full funding, and equal rights under the law. So, again, the residence rules of the Census Bureau will count incarcerated individuals in communities that do not reflect the demographic makeup in many instances or socioeconomic makeup of our communities.
And our next question comes from Greg Wallace with CNN. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for holding this call. I appreciate it. I think I have two questions, and I might direct them just to get it started, but hope anyone with an answer could chime in. First, maybe for Mr. Yang, could he maybe give us a little bit more on the status of the Maryland lawsuit? And then secondly, from Ms. Green, do you have concerns that that all this that is happening over the citizenship question is distracting Bureau leadership from other priorities? We talked about some of the other things that they have on their plate, the hiring, there's the printing contract, there's the new technology. Do you have any concerns that they're being distracted? Thanks very much.
Thank you. John, should I, or you? Do you want to go first?
I'm talking, so
maybe I should just go ahead and just because it'll be cool.
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, John. Yes, I do have concerns that this is it's not only been distracting for the Census Bureau, it's been distracting for all of us, stakeholders, and especially Congress. I mean, I don't know if Congress was inclined to have oversight hearings prior to the midterm elections on the status of the census, but there are plenty of issues that require sunshine and transparency as it relates to this late in the decade, especially as it relates to the progress of the census and where we are. Now, we do know that the General Accounting Office, GAO, has been keeping a close eye on the census and has put the 2020 census on this high-risk list, and it's been there for at least the last 5 years. But there are some critical hearings that Congress needs to take up right away to give the public and the American taxpayer a sense of where things are and where the vulnerabilities are. We know that there are cybersecurity issues, and there have been one or two hearings in the last Congress, but issues related to the communications contract, how are you going to reach, from a media standpoint, these our vulnerable populations? Recruitment and hiring is just an absolute must. There are things like, there's so many issues. Administrative records is another issue. And so I think that the public has not heard the full story on the status of the 2020 census, and I think we're all hoping that Congress will provide a forum where these issues can be discussed before it's too late.
Thanks, Jerry. With respect to the Maryland lawsuit, this is John Yang with Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. We should be finishing that trial in the next day. We're on the last witness today, and I would expect that we will be finishing that up. There will be evidentiary motions and some procedural matters to close up the case. As I said, I think the evidence went in very strongly. I think the judges have tried, both in California, New York, and with our case in Maryland, to try to keep these cases streamlined so that there is not duplication of evidence and not duplication of resources. So our trial started last Tuesday and has basically gone for about a week and a half. For us, I think a highlight is the testimony that was provided by our community members with respect to what they are feeling at the grassroots level, the fears that are being expressed, as well as the resources that are being diverted from their organization, from their personnel, to address the addition of the citizenship question and to address how to make sure that we get a fair and accurate count in Census 2020. I actually wanted to reflect back on Hansi's question with respect to this notion that it is possible to defer this question until fall of this year. As I thought about that some more, one thing struck me is that, from my understanding, part of that testimony was that the chief scientist said that if there was more money committed to the Census Bureau, then the timeline could be pushed back. Independent of all of the things that I've said by previous speakers, which I agree with, well, this brings up the fact as to why Congress must act. If Congress is supposed to be fiscally responsible, then instead of wasting more money on this process and delaying it and throwing it into doubt, then it would make much more sense for Congress to act now, remove an untested question that may very well likely, certainly with respect to testimony that has been given, result in cost increases on follow-up responses to the census. Remove this question now, establish certainty, and ensure that there's a fair and accurate count.
And our next question comes from Angie Damlecki with Aliwa Alardi. Please go ahead.
Yes, somebody asked my question. Sorry, thank you very much.
And our next question comes from Abu Taser with Time Television. Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Abu Tahir. I'm from Time Television, which is serving the Bangladesh community in the United States and Canada. My question is, you know, since it happened, what is the, rule of the Congress who, can stop this, citizenship initiative, and what is the role of the Democratic leadership? What kind of role they can play?
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your question. This is Beth Link from the Leadership Conference Education Fund. Like you said, and as we stated on the call, Congress has a constitutional responsibility to act to protect the integrity of the census and ensure that it's fair and accurate. And they have an opportunity to do so. So in addition to the number of bills that have been introduced in the House and in the Senate, what we welcome leadership to do is to bring those up and continue to support efforts to remove the citizenship question so that we have certainty about what the final census will look like, and so that communities can prepare, and so that we can reduce the uncertainty that's happening and the fear that's happening in communities right now.
And our next question comes from Zhaoyu He with World Journal. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm a reporter from World Journal. I have a very specific question for Mr. Yang. And Mr. Yang, you just mentioned that like 25% Asian Americans never participate in the census, and two-thirds of Asian Americans are concerned about including the citizenship question. I have a question that what's your source of your data, and where can I find the data report?
Sure. Thank you for that question. And there's two components to that. So the statistics that 1 in 4 Asians have never participated in the U.S. Census, that's actually based on census data that shows that 1 in 4 Asians have immigrated to the United States since 2010. So obviously 2010 was the last date of the last decennial census. So it's an extrapolation of that number, or an estimate of that number, that about 1 in 4 Asians have never participated in the U.S. Census. With respect to the two-thirds number, let me clarify that a little bit. And that is from what is called the CBAMS research put out by the Census Bureau that was just put out last week. CBAMS stands for Concerns, Barriers, Attitudes, and Motivators. It's a study that is done by the Census Bureau to understand what might be concerning to people to respond to the census, what might be barriers, and what might be things that motivate them to respond to the census. In that CBAM study, 65%, or approximately two-thirds, expressed that they were either extremely concerned or very concerned that census data would be used against them among the Asian population. So it's not specifically the citizenship question, but rather simply that census data would be used against them. But then there have been other studies that have been done, including messaging research that our organization has done, that shows that the citizenship question in particular is concerning to Asian Americans. So I hope that helps.
And our next question comes from Norma Bonry with L Latino American Newspaper. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Tony Chaitis. I'm stepping in for Norma. She had to step out for a quick second. My question is, at this point, what is the percentage of Congress supporting or against the citizen question on the census? Do we have any numbers as to far as people for it or against it?
So this is Beth from the Leadership Conference Education Fund. We know, as we mentioned on the call, there are a number of bills that have been introduced. There have also been letters drafted and circulated from members of the House and Senate in opposition or raising questions about the case and the citizenship question. I think you're probably asking for kind of a more specific WIP count, and I don't think we have that for this call, but I do recommend just reaching out to members and about the their support or of the legislation that's moving in opposition to the question.
And our last question comes from Henrietta Burroughs with East Palo Alto. Please, thank you
so much. This is Henrietta Burroughs from the East Palo Alto Today newspaper. And I'd like to have a clarification. Beth said that after Judge Furman's decision was made that the Justice Department would appeal to the Supreme Court, Judge Furman's ruling was handed down on January 15th. And it's my understanding that on January 17th, the Supreme Court, which was scheduled to hear the case on February 19th, ruled to remove the citizenship question from its calendar. So it's my understanding that the question is no longer on the Supreme Court's calendar. And by default, the Supreme Court has decided not to hear it.
Thank you, Henrietta, for that question. I think that's a really important one because there have been a lot of things, procedural steps moving. So yeah, happy to clarify that. So the so there are a number of issues in the New York case at play. One of them was a question of asking Secretary Ross to provide deposition before the court. And that that question had been appealed to the Supreme Court, and there was a February hearing not talking about the merits of the case in the New York case, but just asking the Supreme Court whether or not they would just to rule on whether Secretary Ross had to provide testimony to the Southern District of New York. So that was the February date that was already on the Supreme Court calendar. So when the New York case was decided on January 15th, the Supreme Court just noted that they would no longer be holding that hearing on the question of whether or not Secretary Ross would testify. So those two things happened on the 15th and 17th. Then after that, so the Southern District of New York ruled. After that, the administration called and appealed or put in a request with the Supreme Court to expeditiously hear the case. By doing that, they were asking to bypass the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, I will note. And they did this after many delays, over a dozen delays in the case at the district court level. But they called on the Supreme Court to hear the case. At this point, we don't know what the Supreme Court will do, but the request is into them. And so we don't know whether or not they'll take it up or not. But as we've noted on the call, there is certainly an unforgiving census clock at play here, and it's important that there's resolution sooner rather than later. And that's why we're calling on Congress to take action, because they have a constitutional ability and responsibility to.
This concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us. If you have any additional questions, we can be reached at press@civilrights.org. Have a great afternoon.